Good morning. This is Dan Arnold from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. The Reverend Quentin Cundiff is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our reading today is from Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Grace, to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Truly, if we were to make a list of the most common scripture passages that get misused and abused in our modern day, this text would certainly be on the list, if not towards the top. Quick show of hands. How many of you have seen this text shared on social media in the recent past? Many of us have, right? Often it is shared with the smug assumption that if you aren't doing all of the things listed by Jesus in this text, then you are no real follower of him. Now, of course, it's not difficult for us to show how such interpretations of this text are lacking. To say that a person must do all of these things in order to be a true follower of Jesus and thereby obtain salvation is to place the responsibility for our salvation right back into our own hands. And such a reading should be terrifying, for it would mean that no one would ever measure up. For there are always those who are hungry, sick, naked, and imprisoned every day that we do not personally help. Even those who would wield this text as a weapon do not truly want these words applied to themselves. Rather, they often want others to do the actual work or force people to participate in such things. But that said, we should take a moment to consider the words of our Lord here. Have we, in our efforts to deny a works righteousness interpretation of this text, inadvertently gone so far in the other direction that we have chosen to dismiss these words of our Lord altogether? I think that sometimes this might be the case. Sadly, we live in a world full of extremes. And I don't mean the fun kind of extremes from the 90s where everything was neon colored and people wore jeans large enough to fit a Super Nintendo into. No. We live in a world of extremes wherein everyone who is on the opposite side of an issue from me is my mortal enemy. We default to this position in our politics, in the way that we view so many things in our world, and unfortunately, it tends to seep into things even within the church. And worse still, when we fall into this kind of thinking, we lose our ability to deeply reason. When this happens to us, as we seek to be faithful stewards of God's word, we can be tempted to completely ignore texts like this because we can boil it down to a singular issue that absolves us of the need to care for our neighbor. We can simply tell ourselves, well, Jesus didn't really mean for us to do all those things. Jesus isn't saying we really have to do all those things, so let's just blow past it entirely. But dear friends in Christ, this ought not to be. The things that our Lord lists in this text are good and right things for us to do. Feeding the hungry, caring for the sick, clothing the naked are all things that have a real place in the life of the Christian church. Do not forget that it is from the church that springs hospitals, charities, orphanages, and many other elements of social good meant to benefit our neighbors. Now, prior to the Industrial Revolution, the poor were often regarded in society with pity. They were the unfortunates, the people who just came up short in the game of life. They were the people who just had a rough go of things. They were viewed as those who needed to be helped, those who needed to be cared for, defended. But following the Industrial Revolution, a change happened in Western society. We began to assume that being poor and needy was a choice. It was the result of bad decisions, the result of people not choosing to do the good. These were people who chose to be poor. They chose this life because they were of bad character, and they began to be treated as such. But such is not in keeping with how our Lord would have us view our neighbors. Let us not forget the teaching of our own confessions that tell us that good works are necessary. Such things do not warrant or merit our salvation, but it is good for us to serve our neighbors with our good works. This is why we have mercy ministry within our own church body, because this is a good and right thing for us to do. See, truly, our good works do not justify us or qualify us for salvation. Even in our text today, Jesus acts first. Before he even opens his mouth to speak, he has already separated the sheep from the goats. The judgment has already happened. The words of our Lord are meant to encourage and enliven the sheep, not terrify them into doing more good works, because in fact it would be too late to do anything different as it is the last day anyway. So it is good for us to remember also that this is the last of three parables that Jesus uses to describe the day of his promised return. In this parable, Jesus speaks of the sheep who have lived out their faith in service to their neighbors, in distinction to the unbelievers who are condemned for their sins. But before this, we find the parable of the talents, wherein the master returns and judges his servants on how much money they made for him while he was away. Truly, we rarely see this text being used as a measure for Christian sincerity. But even before this, the first parable that Jesus tells to describe his return is the parable of the 10 virgins. And what do those five virgins do who enter the wedding feast? They sit. They wait. They aren't out in hospitals or in prisons. And worse yet, they even refuse to share their oil. Hardly Christian behavior indeed. And yet they enter into the wedding feast when the bridegroom comes. And this is because the virgins are saved because of the faithfulness of the bridegroom. The servants are commended by their righteous master, and the sheep are identified as those blessed by the Father. In all three parables, the salvation comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. The virgins are saved by Christ. The servants are saved by Christ. The sheep are saved by Christ. And you are saved by Christ. You who have faith have been made new through Jesus Christ. He wraps you in his righteousness. He has made you his own. Not because of how many good works you've done in your life. Not because of how many wonderful things you've done, for how much money you've raised to support the work of the gospel. And not because of your ability to hold a lamp. You are saved by Christ out of his incredible love for you. And his love for you is found clearly and plainly right there at the cross. We are daily reminded of his arms stretched out on the cross, nailed to that torture device. We are reminded of his blood that flowed from his wounds, blood that we receive in the chalice for the forgiveness of our sins. And in these days of Lent, we are indeed reminded of our sins. We are reminded of how easy it is for our love to grow cold. How easy it is to dismiss the words of our Lord for our own self-justification. And we are reminded of how easy it can be to bludgeon people with the scriptures, to try to manipulate them into doing something that we want. All of these things are sins. Sins that led our Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. And yet he went willingly. He suffered and he died for you and for me. And he rose again, promising to return. And on that blessed day when he returns, we have no need to fear if we will be with the sheep or the goats, because he knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. And so as we wait for that day, let us do good for those around us, and thereby share the love of Christ with them, show them the love of Christ. And let us look forward to the day of his glorious return, when we will rejoice to hear our Lord say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.